And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, Behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they heard the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach of this name, in his name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. And this man rose up, after this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and today we're moving again to the book of Acts, to the fifth chapter, and to the things that were preached. Preaching is God's way of building his church. It is his way to convert sinners. It is the way to create faith. It is the way to expound the Bible and to call men and women to the loyalty and to faithful service to the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you are a sermon hearer and doer, that we might do the will of God. Stay tuned as we move today on our Let the Bible Speak program to Acts chapter 5.
When we read this book of Acts, our mouths may water because we wish perhaps that we were living in such times like these, and to be living in those days, well, to witness the birth of the church out of paganism, out of Judaism, and things seemed to be happening so rapidly as thousands were converted and daily new converts were added to the church. And no doubt those meetings in the early church must have been electric with the power of God, and the outcome with great expectations for every meeting and every event as the people gathered. The word great comes up a number of times in these early chapters. They had great prayer meetings. The apostles preached with great boldness. There were great numbers added to the church, and there was great joy within their hearts among the early Christians. Now, there are six big events that contributed to all of this rapid growth and all the joy that it brought to these new believers. There was, of course, Pentecost, the very beginning, where the Holy Spirit came down and the evangelistic explosion that took place of that. Remembering that the gift of tongues were to reach men. They were to give the message of the gospel to people of different languages, and that they in turn would go back to their homes taking the gospel with them. Then in chapter 3 we have the healing of the lame man. A man who for 40 years was well known in the city as unable to walk, a cripple, and immediately, by the power of Peter, and John, they were able to see this man leaping and dancing and rejoicing, and it was a phenomenon. It was a marvelous event that drew attention to the gospel. Then also we had the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. We call that the big lie, for which they were struck dead. And we read in that chapter that the fear of God fell upon them. Now in this chapter that we've been reading, verses 15 and 16, there are more great events that happened. And there was the healing of the multitudes. And you really need to read verses 15 and 16 very closely to grasp the significance, the magnitude of the miracles that were taking place through the apostles. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and led them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. 100% cures This is absolutely staggering. And when you think of the news spreading, of the power that these apostles had, the cures that they could pronounce, and it was miraculous. It was creating and stirring tremendous interest in the area. And then also in chapter 5 and verse 19, you have the great escape. And you will see these apostles were put into prison overnight. And then in the morning when they were sent for, well, the angel had come secretly without even the watchmen noticing. The doors somehow were opened. The apostles were led out. The doors were closed. Everything in the morning was as normal, apart from no prisoners. They were gone. And when that news get back, well, what are we going to do? And so the news then arose that these apostles were in the temple preaching. And so they sent for them. And they very quietly and subtly brought them before the leaders. And they threatened them with death. If you go to verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. And so we see these apostles threatened for their lives. And then you have the mediatorship of Gamaliel with a reconciliatory tone. And he advises, you can't slay these men. If this is of God, you're fighting against God. If it's merely of men, well, it'll fizzle out. It'll come to nothing. That was his advice. Now, this desire for us to live in such times, to see such mighty acts and works of the Holy Spirit working in the church, there would be something wrong with us if we didn't even least have the thought, well, why could we not see that today? In the 21st century, why has it not been happening in every decade and century through the Christian church? Well, there are two schools of thought in answering that. There are those who are called continuationists, and they teach that miracles, healings, tongues, gifts of knowledge, revelation, that they continue. That's why they're called continuationists. And they should be expected, prayed for, sought, and at least to some degree experienced within the church. The other school are the cessationists. These things have ceased in the church since the passing of the apostles. Now, I think the best argument for the cessationist argument is that when you read through the rest of the New Testament, get into the book of Romans onward, you don't read of miracles, healings, transformations, tongue speaking, and so on in the rest of the New Testament. Now, I could explain 1 Corinthians that again was earthly languages. It was a metropolitan city. And there were people of all nationalities, and they were coming together, and they needed an interpreter to speak one to another. So I don't put that in the same category as Acts 2. It's not necessarily the same. And so in the rest of the New Testament, you do not have miraculous healings happening. In fact, we find the very opposite. We find that the apostles, they were sick, and they suffered it. There were apostles who were imprisoned and threatened with death, and there was no angel to come and let them out. There was no deliverance from death. And if you know the ending of Paul the Apostle's life, he spent 2 years in a Roman prison before he was taken out and executed for the faith and for the gospel. And so here in the first century, in the lives of the very apostles who gave us the New Testament, they endured sickness, they endured prison, they endured the hostilities of men, and angels didn't lead them out of prison cells, nor were they miraculously healed, but rather they suffered these things. So even in the New Testament, even before the close of the Bible, you cannot say that these things continued in the same manner. Not at all. When you get to the book of James, and the question is, what shall we do when one is sick? Well, the advice is, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayers of the righteous shall heal the sick. But you'll notice it's plural. The elders, plural. There's no one man who has this gift of praying and seeing someone miraculously healed on the spot. And so things do not continue as we read of them here in the early book of Acts. And for that reason, we are not Pentecostals. For that reason, we are not charismatics. We believe in the cessation of these extraordinary, especially revelatory gifts. Because the Bible is complete, the gospel has been pronounced, and in many cases, God did it just once. Just once. Many of these events that you read of here in the book of Acts happened but once. Now, the thing I notice that never changes is the preaching of the gospel. That is always the same. And that continues for sure. In fact, we want apostolic preaching. We want sermons with the same content, with the men filled with the Spirit of God, and of course we pray for mighty results, which has been the portion of the Christian church through the decades and the centuries, or else we wouldn't be here tonight. If this had not happened and repeated generation by generation, the church would have died out. But here we are. And this gospel is preached around the world because God honors the preaching of his word. He causes sinners to be saved. He builds his church. And so we see this marvelous, marvelous power of God at work through the preaching of his word. Now tonight we want to look at the preaching of these apostles in Acts chapter 5 that got them into so much trouble. They were threatened, they were imprisoned, and they were even near being put to death, apart from Gamaliel intervening with a conciliatory tone. And we want to look at this preaching that gets men into trouble. First thing I notice in verse 20 is that it was commissioned preaching. Commissioned. And that night they were taken out of the prison by the angel, and they were told, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And so these men were not going out preaching at their own charges. They didn't have their own little agenda. They had a commission. They were sent, and they were commanded. contrary to the religious leaders, they were commanded by the angel of the Lord to go to the temple and to preach this way, the gospel way. Now, at that point, they could really state, we must obey God rather than man. And so you see, there was a compulsion to preach. There was a must go. They must make this gospel known, no matter the consequences, no matter what the religious professors claim. And so it got them into all kinds of trouble. And of course, this is the commission that is given to every preacher of the gospel from the beginning of the world. Noah got himself into trouble. I think of Jeremiah, who got himself into trouble. And you know those words of encouragement that were given to him in Jeremiah 1, as God called him apart to preach the Lord's word to the people. In Jeremiah 1:6, it says, then I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And when he was sent, he was fearful. How can I do this? But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And so he's to be faithful to the word that the Lord gives to him. Then comes the verse 8, Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. What a tremendous word of encouragement to Jeremiah as he faced the people of Jerusalem with the message of God's judgment that was coming upon them. And then I think of young Joshua, who was taking over from Moses and who was to lead the people over the Jordan into the promised land. And the Lord said to him repeatedly, Be of good courage, for I am with thee. And then Paul's prayer, we looked at this at our early New Year prayer meetings. Paul's prayer in Ephesians 6:18, Pray for me that I may have an utterance, that I may speak as I ought to speak with boldness. This is the preacher's commission. And then this world is headed in an atheistic direction, an ungodly direction. More than ever, the preacher of the gospel needs this commission in his own soul, that I must go and I must preach the whole counsel of God with no fear of man. Now also in verse 28, you'll see that it was Christ-centered preaching that got them into trouble. Verse 28 saying, Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in his name? So that's what they were doing. The thing that they were pulled up for is the thing that they were guilty of preaching in that name. Now it's hard to tell how intently these religiously biased Jewish leaders were listening in on the messages that these men were preaching. Maybe they were going on rumors. Maybe they were going on secondhand information. They had their messengers going in and out of the temple, telling them what was being said. Or perhaps they visited themselves and listened to the words of the apostles as they preached. But the thing that they got, the thing that they picked up on, is they're doing this in Jesus' name. And of course, they were claiming all the authority and all the power of the Lord. Now, they had no other message. They were preaching a Christ-focused, Christ-centered message. Now, of course, the Jews to this very day reject the Lord Jesus as the Messiah. That's the ongoing unbelief of a committed Jew. They will not surrender. They will not submit to the truth. And so to allow that he is the Messiah, well, it would just break down every philosophy, every tradition, every foundation of their faith, if Jesus is the Messiah. And so in their unbelief, they keep going on in their blindness, remaining in their status quo. But this is the focus of the evangelist, to preach the Lord Jesus. It's the focus of the pastor. It's the focus of every Christian. Our message really is the Lord Jesus. And of course, when we get into the later sections of the New Testament, we find that these apostles carried it all the way through their ministries, whether it's Paul in Romans, Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, the theme, the constant theme was it's Him, it's to know Him, it's to be united by faith with the Son of God. This is Christianity. It's not just stuff and doctrines, it's the person of the Lord Jesus. You must know Him. And they kept up that preaching all through their very lives. And that's why we have an apostolic church based on the New Testament principle. We must have Christ-focused, Christ-centered preaching. And I pray that we be faithful to that commission, that we do not lose sight of this primary work that we are about as a New Testament church, and that we keep on keeping on preaching the name, the authority, the person of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. It's all in the Bible. The religious knowledge of too many adults resembles, I am afraid, the religious knowledge of little Eve, said Bishop Hoss at a Nashville picnic. So you attend Sunday school regularly, the minister said to little Eve. Oh, yes, sir. And you know your Bible? Oh, yes, sir. Could you perhaps tell me something that is in it? I could tell you everything that's in it, indeed, said the minister, smiled. Do tell me then. Sister's beautiful photo is in it, said little Eve. Promptly, and Ma's recipe for vanishing cream is in it, and a lock of my hair cut off when I was a baby is in it, and the ticket for Pa's watch is in it. Ah, that little girl thought that the Bible was merely just for storing and filing away precious items. And alas, too often, the Bible is used for little more. It demands rather constant reading and study. And I am calling you to come back to the Bible, to get serious about reading it, meditating upon it, and profiting from the Word of God. Whether you're a Christian or an inquirer, come back to the Bible and let it be your guide. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for tuning in to our program today. Stay tuned for these closing announcements.
Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.